You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ and HD1. KGMZ, San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. Oh, Larry, I see you. I see you in San Francisco lining up. I'm going to go to you in 1 second. But I'm telling you guys right now, and great, you took the words right out of my mouth, 925 on the text line, the Chilton Auto Body text line. Buster's a slightly better version of Joe Mauer at this point. And yes, I would even argue Joe Mauer had better statistics across the board than Buster Posey. And I love Buster. But I also think Buster's a better defensive catcher than Joe Mauer was. They have different skill sets. One was a lefty, one was a righty. They're just different. But very similarly, just moving him to first base, that's not going to solve anything. And go look when they moved Joe Mauer to first base. His numbers just went straight down the tube because he was already finished. So keep him at catcher. Let him be your Jorge Posada. Let him be the guy that just behind the dish helping out this young starting staff. Well, it's not that young. Let's go to Larry in San Francisco. Larry, step right up, no waiting. What do you got on the Giants?
Hey, Butcher Boy, man. Oh, man, dude, I can't believe we have to talk about baseball. But anyway, brother, the thing about the Giants, my state of the union is they refuse to buy a big bat.
Yes.
I think you buy a big bat. If the Giants want to be an exciting team, even their playoff teams were a joke. If they want to be exciting, they got to bring in somebody and just tell them to do exactly what Barry Bonds did. Swing for the fence. We don't care if you strike out. Because if you strike out, I mean, if you get on base, Buster Posey's going to hit a double play, and the inning's over anyway.
Oh, there's no doubt.
We need a real bat.
I agree with you.
No?
And great call, Larry. Thank you. Barry Bonds retired 10, 12 years ago. How have you not found in the era of launch angle and exit velocity, you can't find a 30 home run guy? Oh, but we play in AT&T Park. Yeah, and you play almost 20 games in Arizona and in Colorado, launching pads. I'm sick of the narratives. And the one thing about the Niners and the Raiders, they have had the same exact problem that the Giants had last year and the year prior. You're boring. You're boring. It's one thing to be bad, and it's so much worse to be bad and boring. Because this is the element that no one ever wants to acknowledge. It's a television show. It's entertainment. Okay? Why are Crook and Kipe so beloved? Because they're the two old guys like in the Muppets that are up top, that are kind of giving you the little jabs and the humor, leading this television show. And they're the two guys that are lovable, that are keeping us through the grind. Even when the team sucked in 08, in 09, when there was no hope, you had Tim Lincecum going for Cy Youngs, and you had Crook and Kipe. You had some reason to tune in. Pablo Sandoval was a young player at that point. I think 2009 was his rookie year. I mean, he busted on the scene. But this is a TV show. And if you have no Bumgarner, why do I care about your TV show? Why do I care about attending in person, spending all the money that we're going to spend when we get in there for the $20 craft beers? When I'd rather go to Chase Center and watch Steph and Durant and Clay, hopefully Durant, and we'll get into that later, and Draymond and Boogie. You're fighting for market share, San Francisco Giants. And I got a Snapchat alert from my buddy. Larry Bear is at the Philadelphia 76er game. Larry, Earth to Larry, are you there? Are you going to sign any free agents? You going to deal anybody? You made a big hoopla about negotiating with the Raiders. Why don't you spend some time negotiating with Bryce Harper? Because if the San Diego freaking chicken Padres beat you to Bryce Harper, I will rip my own eyeballs out. Oh my goodness. All right, I got to get to this article. We got a little article. Lucas, my producer. Wow. Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, the bow tie boy. 3 batter requirement for all pitchers. Universal DH, part of the proposals that could bring a big change to baseball. So I guess basically what they're saying is they're going to be done with the one and done, right? I'm not going to allow. I used to call this guy Felipe Alou. I nicknamed him Captain Hook. Because he would go out there, he'd watch you throw 2 or 3 pitches, and then he'd come walking out, and he'd waddle to the mound, and he'd ask for the ball back, and then he'd go get another pitcher. So Captain Hook would always come in there and yank you. And that was kind of our running joke when I was coaching Little League. You know, Captain Hook's got to go out there. So you're telling me now that when you bring someone into the game, you're going to force them to have to face three batters. What if that guy doesn't have it on a given night? You know, what if he goes up there and hits three guys right out of the gate? Like, we've all seen it. Everybody who's watched baseball, even a little, has seen a guy come out of the bullpen and not find the strike zone. And what are you saying when it's a big-time game in September? Take this guy out of the game, right? You're screaming and yelling at your Twitter timeline, your phone, the TV, the iPad, however you're consuming the game. I understand why you would try to propose something like this, but this smacks of someone who doesn't understand baseball and the beauty of it. Now, the DH thing, I hear the argument all the time. The AL has the DH. All of the minor leagues, both sides, have the DH. You have it in college, you have it in high school, etc. And you don't have to use the DH. You can still have some of your hitters, your pitchers, hit. And what that has done over the last 30 years, which no one ever talks about, is that it's created an extra financial slot and enabled a lot of the American League teams to overpay for guys in free agency because their excuse is always this. If he gets down the end of his road defensively, we'll just plop him in at the DH spot. You saw it with Buster Posey. You saw it with Pablo Sandoval when he was getting lured by the Red Sox. Oh, you could be the next David Ortiz. Saw it with Albert Pujols when he went to the Angels. Oh, we'll just put you at DH. It'll be great for you. So I understand that argument. And that would kind of level the playing field financially, allowing the National League teams to overspend for that first base DH outfielder type. Like the J.D. Martinez last year. He just sat there and sat there. And you knew an American League team was going to pick him up because if you're a National League team, there's really no incentive to swoop that guy up because in 2-3 years, he might not be able to play outfield. So I'm more in favor of the DH, even though personally, I just do away with the DH altogether. Get rid of it out of my AL, get rid of it out of my NL. It was kind of a gimmick to begin with. Like, I've always felt like whenever you saw Roger Clemens throwing at people, like, dude, you should be able to have to get it in the batter's box. Whenever I saw David Ortiz sitting there with a sledgehammer, you know, in the dugout waiting to hit, it's like, dude, go out and play first base, bro. Come on. I bat four times a game, and that's all I do. And I get it. Some guys are butchers with the gloves, no pun intended. But that's part of the beauty of the game, playing defense and offense. Part of why I love Barry Bonds, it wasn't just the home runs. It's the 8-time Gold Glover, 9-time Gold Glover. Why is Mike Trout so beloved? It's because of the bat, the legs, and the glove. It's all those combinations of things. So I'm all out on the three-batter requirement for pitchers. I'm out on that. I don't like that idea. I understand. If I took a step back, I understand why you would have proposed that particular idea. But logically, if you were to conceptualize this, I mean, this is only going to make it more difficult for managers to know who to put in and when because, or how's he doing in the bullpen? Phone it down to me. Hit me on my phone. Hit me on the text me how he's doing in that bullpen session over there as he's warming up to get ready. I don't like it. I don't like it. And then strategically, you'd see everybody start to adjust. I mean, they already do it anyway, where they go righty, lefty, righty or whatever. You'd see teams start to stack their lineups in different ways to make it more advantageous when you know the guy has to stay in there for three straight at-bats. Ooh, this is a good one from the 916, the Chilton Auto Body text line. Is Mike Trout the white Ricky Henderson with the bigger bat? I don't know. I got to think about that. I mean, Ricky Henderson, to me, if I'm starting a team tomorrow of all the greatest players who ever lived, Ricky Henderson's in my outfield and he's batting leadoff. And it's not even there's no one who's even in the conversation as a leadoff hitter and in my outfield. It's him. Now, I know he played left field and so did Bonds and Shoeless Joe Jackson and other guys. But I'll plop Ricky anywhere in the outfield and I know I'll be fine. Ricky, the first guy to pop his collar. Ricky, the first guy to pop his glove out there when he'd do all the shenanigans on a can of corn fly ball. They're different players. There's a lot of similarities. Trout will never be able to be allowed to steal as many bases as Ricky Henderson. Ricky Henderson was thrown out like 130 times one year when he dropped 220 stolen bags. Can you imagine in the analytics era somebody getting caught stealing 100 some odd times? Oh my God, the Dodgers would be like, ah! The book tells us to not play Bellinger, even though he's our MVP. His numbers are 2.3% lower against lefties. Yeah, but he's a superstar. And yes, I agree, from the 5-2-0, Trout cannot run like Ricky. No one can. And yes, Charlie Hustle, damn good leadoff hitter. And I love Charlie Hustle. Charlie Hustle could bat anywhere in my lineup. Ricky's batting leadoff all day. All day. Come at me with a better leadoff hitter. All right, we're going to continue this baseball talk. We're digging deeper. I'm going to go through the starting rotation when we come back. Stick around. Giants fans, 888-957-9570. You trading Bumgarner? Who do you want over the next 7 days to go? And who do you want them to bring in? There are free agents available. Get in line. It's the Butcher Shop. 957, the game.
Now back to the Butcher Shop on 957, the game. Here's Joe Shasky.
Yes. This is the Butcher Shop. And it's the State of the Union. I'm Joe Shasky, and I want to talk to Giants fans. Where are you at on Bumgarner? You want to keep him, trade him? Is he the only reason to tune in this year? Can they salvage the 2019 season before it even begins? Are the A's going to sweep him again this year? I mean, they're just going to crush them again this year? Probably. Are the Dodgers going to win the NL West again? Probably. Let's go to Brandon in Vallejo. Brandon, in Vallejo, what do you got on Ichiro and Ricky Henderson? I think a hot take is brewing here. Step right up, no waiting. What do you got, Brandon?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking me. I would definitely, I love Ricky, A's fan, Giants fan, Bay Area fan, but if I had to pick, I have to go with Ichiro, number one leadoff hitter I've ever seen, best of all time. Left-handed, gets out the box faster than I've ever seen. I mean, maybe not as fast as Ricky, but better contact hitter, and that's who I'd pick.
That's a good, it's hard to argue with that, but I'm taking Ricky. Me personally, I'm taking Ricky. More explosive base runner. Ichiro did a lot of great things. I mean, the guy broke Pete Rose hit records, okay? He had more consecutive 200 hit seasons than anyone in the history of the game. And if he would have been playing here since he was, you know, a young man, had he not played in Japan prior, he probably would have got close to 4,000 hits, if not more. There's no doubt about it. But for my money, I'm taking Ricky Henderson. You got breaking news? And we go to Lucas Alexander behind the glass. Lucas, give me the breaking news.
The Los Angeles Lakers have made a trade.
Oh, no, they haven't. Give it to me.
The Lakers are trading guard Svi Mykhailiuk and a draft pick to Detroit for Reggie Bullock. Unfortunately, it's not the trade you were looking for.
Don't ever break into my show with that garbage ever again. Who? Give me those two names one more time, because the way you said it was just
Svi Mykhailiuk for Reggie Bullock.
Sounds like two boxers, doesn't it? Doesn't even sound like NBA players.
Who you got in that fight, Reggie Bullock or Svi Mykhailiuk?
I gotta meet their trainers.
Svi
first.
Sounds pretty chippy.
I gotta see the weigh-in. Getting back to baseball, let's get back to some more Ricky. We got a lot of people asking about Ricky Henderson. I like it. Let's go to Justin in Napa. Justin, step right up, no waiting. What do you got on Ricky?
I just want to comment about the fact that you talked about how many times Ricky was thrown out in a single season. Ricky did that with no coaching assistance whatsoever. As soon as he had a coach helping him run on certain pitches, his throwout ratio dropped dramatically. Also, how many games did he lead off with a home run? No one has ever touched that ever before in the history of baseball. I think he changed that game so much.
There's no question. There's no question. And I might have misspoke on the statistics. I don't know. I'm doing a solo show by myself. I'm all amped up on coffee. So if I messed up the Ricky Henderson specific stats and how many times he got caught stealing, apologies to all A's fans. But I agree with him. Again, Ricky Henderson, there really is no, like, who's the sec? Look at it this way, right? The stolen base record that he broke, Lou Brock's, if I'm not mistaken, he broke it at like 29 or 30 years old, like smack dab in the middle of his career. And just like Jerry Rice in the NFL, when you break a record so special and so tough to eclipse at such a young age, and then you double it up, and the next closest guy is literally half of the way down on that list, shows how special you are. No one's ever touching his record. We can talk about the Joe DiMaggio record, 56-game hitting streak, all we want. We can talk about the 73 home runs from Barry Bonds, the Oral Hershiser consecutive scoreless inning streak, all those different things. That Ricky Henderson stolen base all-time career achievement, I don't think anyone's touching that one. Let's go to Michael and Martinez. Michael, step right up, no waiting.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to, weigh in on that Ricky Henderson versus Ichiro debate, and I was one of the people that had to correct you on that stat. I'm sorry. He's one of my all-time favorites. 130 stolen bases, only caught 42 times that year.
Yeah, it's incredible. Would any manager allow someone to steal 200 bags a year?
No, not in this day and age. I was just running through some of the stats. What I found incredible, from age 39 through 41 seasons, he stole 130-something bases, you know, at age 39, 40, and 41.
He stole like 70. Was it like 65 or 70 at like 39 years old, didn't he?
66 in 1998 with the A's.
Ridiculous.
60, I mean, that's ridiculous. At 39, I mean, that just would never happen. That will never happen.
Exactly. Exactly.
And he's, I mean, he 240 leadoff home runs. I want to say something like that. He's the all-time leader in stolen bases, runs, caught stealing as well. But he was just a blast to watch. I'm fortunate got to meet him a couple times at those fan fests back in like 92. And so anyhow.
Good call. Yeah. Good call, Michael. I appreciate that. And thank you for correcting me. We want to be on the up and up. I appreciate it. I don't even pretend to be some A's homer or an A's statistician. But, yeah, I mean, I just recognize greatness. And Ricky Henderson's one of the greatest, baddest dudes on the planet. One of the greatest to ever lace him up, and deserves a statue in the heart of Oakland. So hopefully when they get that stadium done, he will be there. And he'll be able to see himself get a bust and a statue there. I think he deserves it. He deserves to be a part of that new stadium. Let's get back to the Giants rotation, though, because this is where the foundational keys to each of the World Series and any successful season they've had has always been the starting pitching. It's always been it. That is the Giants' key to success. Starting pitching, starting pitching, starting pitching. Were there other elements? Timely hitting, great bullpenning, absolutely. But every single one of the World Series started because of starting pitching. That's how they laid the groundwork. And I look at this rotation right now. You got Madison Bumgarner heading into a walk season, looking for the big-time money, basically got a bargain-type deal many moons ago at a young age where they bought out his arbitration years. Hasn't really pitched a whole lot the last two seasons because of two quote-unquote random injuries, but they happened. They happened, and he missed a lot of time. He derailed the Giants' season twice. And I think it was any other player would have been crushed for the dirt bike thing. I mean, look what we did to Monte. Monte Ellis got like, oof. So how many old, crusty people were furious at Monte Ellis? Oh, my goodness. But Bumgarner got a pass because of what he had achieved. And I get it. But I won't forget it. That doesn't mean I got to forget it. They got Johnny Cueto, who's probably going to miss the entire season. I'm not hopeful he's going to pitch this year. They say he's already playing catch. I don't know. Why are you rushing that back? You got a lot of money on that deal. So let's take Cueto out of the equation. Mad Bum is definitely your number one. Your number two has got to be Derek Rodriguez, the son of Pudge Rodriguez. I think he's an absolute stud. Do I think he's an ace? No, no, he has to prove it. The guy has to pitch a whole season, 200 innings, and then do it again for another year, and then maybe even do it another season. Like, that's how aces work. You got to be a consistent stud for multiple seasons. You don't just be coined an ace. Ask A's fans about Sonny Gray. Is he an ace? No. Just because you're the best pitcher on a staff doesn't make you the ace. Then they got a couple of, I guess, basically pencil these guys in. Derek Holland, who had a really good year last year. They got him off the bargain bin for cheap. And you know what? He was really good. Kind of a poor man's Kirk Reeder. Worked quick, played good defense, threw to contact, you know, didn't have high-stress innings. Really fit with the culture of the team. Derek Holland was a good signing. They brought him back. I like it. And then a guy that A's fans are definitely, definitely well aware of, Drew Pomerantz. And my man Towney used to say, he's got a lot of similarities to Rich Hill. When the curveball's working, when the breaking stuff's working. The text line's all over me. You don't just be coined an ace. Yeah, exactly. That's what I just said. Sorry for the listeners of the radio. The text line's blasting me for some of my verbiage. Getting back to Drew Pomerantz. Drew Pomerantz, it's a great flyer. I like it. Because if he doesn't work out, you get rid of him. It's a couple million dollars. It's not that big of a risk, and the reward is significantly better if he actually pitches well. But here's where it gets ugly. Jeff Samardzija, we know all about Jeff Samardzija here. Overpaid. What do you do with him? And I'll tell you in a second. Chris Stratton, Andrew Suarez, Ty Block, Tyler Beede. Oh boy. That's a whole lot of 4A right there. And 4A, I mean too good to be in AAA, not good enough to be in the bigs. Let's start with Jeff Samardzija. They owe him a lot of money. I think he's got 2 or 3 years left on the deal. The best way to squeeze the lemon on Jeff Samardzija, it's not in the starting rotation. Use him as an opener. Use him as a bullpen arm. Use him 3-4 times a week coming out of the bullpen. You know, start some of these young guys. Andrew Suarez at times looked like Jimmy Key. Slick little lefty, had great movement, kind of had a little poor man's Mark Mulder to him. And that might be giving him too much credit because Mark Mulder was really, really, really good, especially early on before he got traded to the Cardinals. When he was at the Cardinals, he was garbage. But with the A's, he was good. Mulder could dish it. But that's what Suarez reminded me of. Kind of a funky little lefty. He had good stuff. I liked his guile. Ty Block, Kirk Reeder 2.0. But he's not as good as Kirk Reeder. Nowhere near it. And he faded hard. Had some big starts against the Dodgers to open the season. And then just nosedived. And it wasn't good after that. And then you got Tyler Beede. Came up. Looked completely overwhelmed. Didn't have a secondary pitch. Couldn't locate the fastball. I thought his fastball was, ugh. I was expecting from a first-round draft pick, you better be blowing cheddar. I need to see high 90s. This dude was sitting at 92. He didn't have enough repertoire to sit at 92. He didn't have enough off-speed and breaking ball stuff or command to get guys out at the big league level. And I'm really worried that Tyler Beede is just a lost cause. So I would try to experiment with Stratton, Suarez, Ty Block in that five role. If we're going to go Mad Bum as our one, Derek Rodriguez as the two, and then you're going to have Derek Holland as the three, the four is probably going to be Drew Pomerantz, and then the five is kind of a committee situation. Chris Stratton, Suarez, Ty Block, Tyler Beede. And then I'm using Samardzija and whoever doesn't make the starting rotation as an opener, as a guy who can come in, give me a couple of innings here and there, spot starts, swing spots, almost like Lincecum in the 2012 playoffs when he would come in the fourth, fifth inning, a high-stress inning, get us and bridge us to the real bullpen. It's Cueto seems to be doing well from his rehab in Tommy John. He says he's in great shape, although he got a little heavy last year. He claims to be back in the rotation by September 1st, regardless of the team's record. I would say I don't need to see you in September if the team is 90 games out. I'm cool with that. But they need to develop this young starting pitching. Chris Stratton's not young. Suarez is still kind of young. Ty Block kind of young. Tyler Beede's the one. They need to figure it out. They either need to move him while he still has some value, or they need to squeeze that lemon so they can get more from him. You know, Derek Rodriguez, had a great year last year. Caught a lot of people off guard. Caught a lot of people by surprise. So this is a big prove-it type of a year to back it up and show that last year wasn't a farce. Last year wasn't a mirage. And Farhan Zaidi, Zaidi, said that he would like to slow play all the young pitchers. But if the Giants want to get off to a good start, I mean, they got to get these young studs out of the gates quick. Now let's move to some of the non-roster invitees. I mean, Sean Anderson, Anderson Franco, Connor Menez. Who are these people? But that's how they found Derek Rodriguez last year. So we will see. Garrett Williams is another name. Anderson was the guy who was acquired in the Eduardo Nunez deal to Boston. So he's somebody that at least Boston was looking at pretty highly, and they regarded him quite well. So they wouldn't have parted with him to get Eduardo Nunez, who I loved Eduardo Nunez. I mean, he's what Alan Hansen, I think, can be. Platoon-type player who you just got to find at-bats for. And once he gets on the base pass, can make things happen. The Giants lack speed. That dynamic speed Alan Hansen brought to the table was just so unique. So unique. Now, this Samson guy, he was a former high pick of the Padres, so we'll take the Padres' leftovers. But this is kind of how Farhan has built, you know, his name in the industry, is finding value when others see none. So we will see about some of these non-roster invitees. But the bullpen, you got Tony Watson. You got Mark Melancon. Ugh. You got Sam Dyson. You got Ray Black hopefully coming back, the young flamethrower who throws high 90s. And by high 90s, I mean triple digits. But could one of these guys net you somebody back in return? Could a Tony Watson, who was brilliant for the Giants last year, could you dangle him and get something back? Absolutely. Teams need bullpen. They need bullpen arms. You lost Hunter Strickland. You should have traded him at the deadline when he broke his arm against the wall. I don't know why they let him just walk without any compensation. Drives me nuts. Mark Melancon, they bought a lemon. Everybody's done it. We've all bought a car that sucked, that you knew right away, uh-oh, this thing's going to suck down all my money because I'm going to have it in the shop and the maintenance garage every single week. That's Mark Melancon. The guy can't pitch in back-to-back days. He's throwing like 88 miles an hour. Barry Zito throws harder than Mark Melancon. Say that out loud. Your big high-priced closer. Oh, they figured out the bullpen. But the bullpen is where I'm looking to make a move. Can I pair up Brandon Belt and Tony Watson? Can I lump together Sam Dyson and Evan Longoria in some sort of a package to make it sweeter for another team, plus offset the money? That's what I'm looking to do if I'm Farhan. And I've only got a handful of days, and there's so many guys that are still out there. I'm looking at this free agent list. Let me pull this thing up. The number one and number two free agents in baseball remain unsigned. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado. I'm in on both of them. I'll take either one of them. I mean, the Phillies wanted to get both. The Padres are entertaining bringing in both. How are the Giants not in this conversation? Too busy negotiating with Mark Davis? Get in the conversation. You got another guy who's way under the radar, but I think diehard baseball fans know exactly who this guy is because he was on the Astros, and he's a good player. But they've got so many great players on the Astros, there's just no spot for him. Marwin Gonzalez. I think Marwin Gonzalez is a stud. Love to bring him in. He's more of like a utility guy, but doesn't that kind of fit the mold that we're looking for? He can play lots of different positions. You can slot him at different spots in the lineup. I like him. He's not going to cost a whole lot, so it keeps you under the luxury tax. Derek Dietrich's still out there. You know, he's not the best defensively, but, I mean, the guy hit 29 jacks the past two seasons. He's extremely underrated. And I think he deserves a bigger role. I want to see what he would be like with 500 at-bats. Josh Harrison's still out there. Eh. I think he would kind of cut into Alan Hansen's development and some of his at-bats. Robbie Grossman, not bad. You know, better than what you got, but not that big of an upgrade. Clay Buchholz, I mean, yeah, as a fifth starter, I kind of got a lot of fifth starters. Eh. But the key guy is Bryce Harper. You just got $400 million, Larry Bear. $400 million from Oracle to slap the name Oracle over AT&T Park and call it Oracle Park. Use that money and reinvest it into getting a centerpiece power-hitting outfielder throughout the prime of his career. You're buying out the prime years of his career, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Give him a six-year deal and give him $200 million, $250 million. You got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. You can rebuild around him, overpay on the front end, buy out the best years. If the Padres beat you to this punch, oh my goodness. The Padres? Name five Padres. Eric Hosmer. I mean, come on. The Padres? Padres never get free agents.
Can't do it.
I mean, geez Louise, unless it's a Giles brother, the Padres can't get no free agents. If they beat you to the Manny Machado or Bryce Harper sweepstakes, I'm gonna lose my mind. I'm gonna absolutely lose my mind. But if you're looking at the big picture for the Giants, if they don't do anything in the next 7 days and leading up to the opening day, it's a disaster. 2019 is already over. It's finished. Because this team has proven the roster that they had, that they rolled out at the end of last year, is the exact same one they're going to roll into 2019 with, and that's a proven loser. It's only going to get worse and worse and worse. And right now, if I had to bet, you or the Baltimore Orioles, who would have a worse record? The only reason I'm taking the Orioles is because they play in the AL East, where two playoff teams are going to come out of, in the Red Sox and the Yankees. And so they're going to get beat down by those two teams. But if you put the Giants in the AL East, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It would get crushed. Absolutely crushed. We're going to transition here to a little NBA talk, I think. I think Lucas, the producer, is ready to talk a little NBA. Because the trade deadline, it's steadily approaching. It's steadily approaching. So definitely at the top of the hour, we are going to talk some NBA. But I have a question for just baseball fans. What is the line between preserving the tradition of baseball contrasted with the need to add more off-season excitement, more regular season excitement, more offensive output? Where can I get that? How can they do both? How can they preserve the old school ways? And how can baseball continue to uptick the offense and make it more enjoyable product? Not just for those who are attending the games, but for those who are viewing it. Oh, the games are too long. How can they do both? Because baseball is the only sport, maybe golf, where its past is more important than its future. It's the only sport. All the other sports live in the present and in the future. Baseball dies in the past. It lives in the past. And I love the game the way it is. I'm always down and open to little tweaks here and there. But for the most part, I want to see the game just eliminate the commercials. We don't need 3 minutes in between innings. Put the commercial on the bottom right-hand side of the screen like they do in golf, like they do in soccer, and figure it out. One of the great things and one of the big appeals to soccer is it's 45 minutes uninterrupted. That's why millennials love it. And then they run a bunch of commercials the entire time on the sidelines, on the graphic things that are going off. Baseball was always one of the first to do this when they had the little green screen behind home plate. Step the ante up and put it in areas that the ball won't protrude into and continue the game going. Get it moving. You don't need 15 warm-up pitches and guys to do infield and outfield in between games. How many softball games go around the entire country where there's no warm-up pitches in between innings and there's no balls being thrown around in an infield? All of them. Every league. In high school, they have limits on how many warm-up pitches. Everyone. But baseball, where we have to have Major League Baseball has to have 6 minutes in between innings. That's why the games are 3 and 4 hours. You got a zillion pitching changes, and then you go to a zillion commercials. But we're going to continue this talk. And we're going to go straight to the Kevin Durant topic that everyone is so excited to dive into. Here on The Butcher Shop. Stay tuned. Let's dig into Kevin Durant. You guys sick of him yet? It's The Butcher Shop, 957 The Game.
Now back to the Butcher Shop on 95.7 The Game. Here's Joe Shasky.
Ah, we're getting mafioso here. It's the Butcher Shop. I'm Joe Shasky. That is Mac Dre, mafioso. Joe behind the glass. Coming with the heaters. Kevin Durant. Oh, the curious case of Kevin Durant. Boy, why? We're going to do millennial problems at 9:30. Although I don't consider myself a millennial, even though the boys here tell me I'm in the demo bracket. I'm like, no, I'm not a millennial. Kevin Durant, though, massive millennial. Totally emo. Totally all up in his feelings. Kiki. Like Drake would say.
All you millennials.
Yes, all you millennials. Ethan Sherwood Strauss of The Athletic. And I do have to say this one time before I forget. People with three names are typically assassinators. John Wilkes Booth, Lee Harvey Oswald. I love Ethan Sherwood Strauss, but he might have to ditch the middle name. I don't know. Joseph Philip Shasky. Oh, Ethan Strauss. Oh, on the sheet, he calls himself Ethan Strauss. Okay, I stand corrected. Ethan, I'm sorry. I will apologize. I love you. I love your work on The Athletic, hence why I subscribe. It's not for Kawakami. It's for Ethan Strauss pieces. But he starts this thing off, and he says, on day 8 of the Kevin Durant media silence, day 8? So basically what he's saying is, Kevin Durant has been silent and avoiding the media for 8 days. And I know what the typical fan who's listening to this, like myself, would say, because this is what I would say just a couple of months before I got onto this station. Who cares what the media thinks? He doesn't need to talk to the media. I hear you. And I used to think that way. When Colin Kaepernick was my quarterback, I used to say, you know what? Who cares what Colin Kaepernick says to the media? I don't care if he gives them a one-word answer or a two-word answer or a three-word answer or flips them off. Why should I care? Well, I think it's my perspective has changed. And while I don't think that every single player should be available to the media, certain people in certain lines of work, that kind of goes with the territory. So when you're Steph Curry, you need to be like the quarterback. You need to be presidential. You need to be available. You need to be able to give a good sound quote. You need to be able to be the face in front of the television. And I think that you do represent not just the organization, but the sport as a whole. And part of the reason why you get paid what you do is you got to deal with all that kind of stuff. It's not just because of the basketball. You know, we all have jobs, and there's little tiny things, nuances, attachments, things that go along with the job. And when you get paid $30 million and you get the max money, Kevin Durant, part of the job is you got to talk to the media. Fair or not, that's how it works, right? You guys wouldn't want your mayor or the governor or the president to be like, you know, I don't have to talk to the media. No, that's the job they signed up for. And if Durant's going to take the money, unfortunately, the other side of the coin is you got to talk a little with the media, even if you're going to do the Marshawn Lynch thing. I'm only here so I don't get fined. That's fine. Have fun with it. Like, when I watch Klay Thompson take the interviews, do I think, you know, Klay loves getting these interviews? No. He answers a couple funny, you know, jokes off the top of his head, and then he's done. And then he walks out, and he doesn't think about it again. And I don't expect every single person to be like Klay, and that's what makes Klay so unique. But 8 days of Kevin Durant media silence? Apparently, Lucas and I were talking about this last night. And whoever the PR guy is for the Warriors was trying to shuffle Raymond Ritter. Thank you, Raymond Ritter. Was trying to shuffle Kevin Durant toward the media. And he literally, physically turned around and went in the other direction. So obviously, the organization themselves wants him to go just say something to the media. Acknowledge something, say something, do something. Even if you don't want to say anything, walking up there and saying, I don't want to talk today. I don't want to talk about my impending free agency. Laughing. I only want to talk about the game. Whatever it is, say something. Because you not saying anything leaves all of us with nothing but speculation and hyperbole and then we have to try to fill in the blanks. The only other time this season when Kevin Durant made himself unavailable was after the Draymond Green situation. Think about that. What's going on right now? Oh, the New York Knicks? What did they do? They traded Kristaps Porzingis to clear up cap space? Oh, they're going to target Zion Williamson in the draft? Huh, them and everyone else at the bottom of the draft. You're hearing the rumors already of Kyrie Irving snapping on the media saying that he doesn't want to take the extension anymore, which is his right. He could say whatever the heck he wants. He's earned that. Hit the biggest shot in Cleveland sports history. But it's just a coincidence? Or is there more to this as to why Kevin Durant, all of a sudden, since the day the Knicks traded Kristaps Porzingis to clear up two slots of maximum amount of money, all of a sudden, he wants to go silent? As LeBron calls it, zero dark 30. And we'll get to LeBron in a minute. But I don't think it's coincidence. I think something's going on. And he has his right to say or not say whatever he wants. But part of the rules of playing in the NBA is you got to talk to the media every now and then. It's part of the job requirements. I'm not even a big fan of it. I'm not even saying that I need him to be sitting there and giving eloquent answers and he needs to be engaged. He can say whatever he wants. Pull the Marshawn. Stand there. Say, I'm just here because I don't want to get fined. All right? Put your hand up. He has no problem talking to Bill Simmons when he's three cups of wine deep on a podcast. And I don't understand who he's upset with. Oh, this is a great text from the 415. And you can get in at 888-957-9570. What the heck is going on with Kevin Durant? And are you ready for him to just say bye-bye? Do you appreciate what he's done here? And you're going to stand up and clap him if he does leave? But this is a great text from the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. KD to the Knicks. This talk, it started with national reporters. Not here by the Bay Area contingent, the local people. I don't understand who he's upset at. That's a great point. I don't understand who he's upset with either. The Warriors are rolling right now. They've won 12 of their last 13. Boogie, Steph, Iggy, even Clay, everybody's getting into the mix. Draymond looks healthy finally. Everybody looks great. And there is Kevin Durant sulking in the middle of the Philadelphia 76ers game because Steph Curry's going off. Come on, bro. Really? Really? I don't know. Something's going on. And Joe Lacob, coincidentally, had a little conversation with Tim Kawakami, basically saying that he will do whatever it takes to keep Kevin Durant here, to keep Klay Thompson here. And I believe him. But if I was him, I would also have multiple contingency plans, which I'm assuming he does, hence why he is a billionaire, hence why he is building a state-of-the-art, beautiful, beautiful arena in downtown San Francisco. But I still feel, even though all of this is going down, I don't think KD's leaving. And other people may disagree with me, and that's fine. I just don't think he leaves this, because I think he'd be an idiot to leave what they got going here. And I'm going to be the first to say it. You'd be an idiot. Go work for James Dolan. See how that works. I've worked for other employers in different parts of my life for management that I didn't respect or like, or I thought would be, you know, I could deal with it. I'll figure it out. The money's worth it. I got responsibilities. And then I got there and I was like, oh, this is horrible. Darn it. I'm stuck. I made the worst move. You know, I don't think Kevin Durant owes me or you any comment. He doesn't have to address his free agency, but the rules of the NBA are you gotta talk to the media. Like, that's literally in their rules, in their contracts. And I said it last night, and I'm going to say it till I'm blue in the face. Part of being a man is doing a bunch of things you don't want to do. Part of accepting the money, when you take the money, is you got to do a bunch of stuff you don't want to do. Okay? A bunch of stuff. If I had my druthers, hey guys, you know what? I'd like to do the radio show tonight from my couch. All right? In my sweatpants. But no, that's not how it works. I have to drive into the studio. I have to prepare. I have to be ready. That's part of the deal. Part of being an NBA superstar making max money who hasn't taken the extension, part of that is you got to go up to the media and talk about the game afterwards. And I don't know what Kevin Durant's going to feel in his heart on that day, but this speculation that he already knows where he's going to go and he's had this all plotted out, and who knows? He's an ultimate millennial. I mean, who knows? I didn't think he would come to the Warriors. I mean, I hoped he would came to the Warriors, but the rumor is that he didn't even know he was going to do it until the morning of. So for us to hypothesize and speculate where he's going to go, I'm not willing to go down that road. And I'm just going to cherish and enjoy and savor every single moment of him with the Warriors right now, because this is the greatest starting five I've ever seen. And I think that this is kind of what happens in a family environment, right? We've all got cousins, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters. Maybe it's a wife, husband, whatever it is in your life where you're like, you know, a relationship is complicated, right? We all have that in our lives. Complicated relationships. Doesn't mean you don't love people. Doesn't mean that you don't see the flaws in them. Doesn't mean you don't appreciate the little flaws and actually kind of love them. It just means it's complicated. And I feel like Kevin Durant right now, when it comes to the Warriors, the situation's complicated. And he's being courted by everybody. And, you know, it's like being recruited again. Who doesn't want to be loved? That's one of the things that I can't stress enough. These guys are all just humans. We put these, he's a hero. He's a basketball player. He's a great, one of the greats of all time. But he's still got imperfections, because that's what makes us human. Everyone has them. You're so gifted in one aspect, and that you have character flaws in another. So I don't expect him to be perfect all the time, 24/7, 365. But there is a bare minimum of requirement he needs to do. And that's just talk to the media. And if you want to just shut everyone down, go right ahead and shut everyone down. Let's get legal.
Legal.